Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
All right, before Stan joins us, because having talked to Stan early in my career at the Badger Herald, he taught me a lot of basketball. Him and Stu Jackson. Maybe it was the earring era. I only remember Barry Alvarez noticing that. But knowing how it is to talk to Stan, I want to get this information out first to make sure that I don't forget, because we get so enthralled with our conversation with him. So we talked about A Road at Night in like May and June, I think. John Roach came on the show. We talked about it. I watched it. It is incredibly powerful. So now it is going to be in Marcus Theaters starting on Thursday the 12th of this month. And that first screening on the 12th is going to benefit Howard Moore's family, and it's going to include a panel discussion with Jarrell, with Coach Gard, Chris Conger, who is one of Howard's teammates, and our friend Matt LePay as well. If you want to just make a donation, or if you want to get the link to the tickets, all you got to do to get there is either go to the Howard Moore website, where we are trying to support Howard. It's domoore434.com. And then you can also go to aroadatnight.com if you want to go straight to get the tickets ordered for that. But it's such a powerful film. In fact, as we bring in Stan Van Gundy, when I saw it, I got done, and Stan was so phenomenal in it that I texted our friend Brian Anderson. And I said, hey, do you have Stan's number? Because I don't have it anymore from when I covered him when I was a student 30 years ago. And Brian said, I'm sitting right next to him. Now, he never gave me his actual number, which was a little disappointing. But I said, you have to tell Stan how phenomenal he is in this, because of all the powerful interviews that are in it, and there are a ton, Barry Alvarez, Tracy Webster, Michael Finley, Matt LePay, Tom Oates. Stan was unbelievable, and I know his love for Howard and what he has done to support him. And he joins us now. Oh, by the way, he's also the analyst for Amazon Prime NBA coverage. It is Stan Van Gundy on Wilding Tausch. Stan, that may be the longest intro you've ever gotten, but it's great to see you. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing well, and I appreciate the promotion of A Road at Night. And, you know, like you said, it's a great documentary. John Roach did an incredible job putting it together. It's powerful. The Wisconsin basketball fan will absolutely love it. And at the same time, you can go and watch it and know the proceeds are going to help Howard and his family. There's nothing better than that.
Stan, why was it so important for you to be involved in it, having coached him and knowing? I mean, I was friends with Howard in college. I know what his personality is like. Why was it so important, though, for you to not only support him, but to also help tell his story?
Well, look, I think that one of the, you've seen the documentary, one of Howard's pastors near the end of the documentary, I thought had the line. He said, there's exceptional people, and then there's Howard Moore. And I think that's right. And I think that's what comes across when you watch all the people talk in the documentary. Howard has impacted more people in that Wisconsin program over the last 30 years than anyone, than Dick Bennett, Bo Ryan, Greg Gard. No one has impacted more people in a positive way than Howard Moore has. And, you know, you said you were friends with him in school. Howard had so many friends, but Howard, the depth of which he cared about people. I said in the documentary, I've been around the game at a lot of different levels for a long time. He is the best teammate I have ever seen. And what's really, if this tragedy had happened to anyone else in that group at Wisconsin, the guy we would have all leaned on is Howard Moore. I mean, he's just an amazing person and has done so much for all of us. You know, I was, even when I was coaching in the NBA, if we would hit a tough stretch, I could count on getting a text or a call from Howard. You know, I mean, it's just, that's who he is. He's always there for everybody. And it's such a tragedy. But I think all of us want to be there for he and his family as much as we possibly can.
Yeah, I, as I said to John Roach, when he, I'd never done a blurb before, and anybody who's read my work knows that I am not concise or has ever listened to this show. But one of the things that I said was, I called Howard a friend, but literally half the campus, when we were on campus, would have said the same thing about him and actually been able to mean it, which is what made him as special. I will say that it was like the old Sesame Street thing. One of these things were not like the other. One would be Tracy Webster, Michael Finley, Howard Moore, and Jason Wilde together, because I was not nearly as cool in that group. But nevertheless, I appreciated all their friendships. Stan, I am curious because, and I want to go a little further with what you were saying, because I thought Tom Oates has a great line in it. He scored like 99 career points, and no one has had the kind of impact probably on any college basketball program in the history of college basketball while only scoring 99 points. What does that say about, you were there for him as an assistant coach as well, like you know what impact he had on his teammates. I know the impact he had on the crowd when he would go into games, but help us understand what he was like as a teammate that makes you say that he's the greatest teammate you've ever been around.
Okay. Well, first, you know, I think you've got to start, right, with when Howard was there. So the resurgence of Wisconsin basketball program started while Howard was there as a player. And you could hear in there the impact he had on recruiting Michael Finley and Rashard Griffith. And those guys and Stu Jackson coming in and the resurgence of the program, getting to the NCAA tournament for the first time in 47 years, the enthusiasm that went with it is what, you know, got the Kohl Center in progress to be built and all of that. So it's where it all started. Then you go through the time where Howard was a coach. And, you know, it talks about it in the documentary where he recruited Frank Kaminsky. I mean, he's touched everyone. And the thing is, when we say touched everyone, it's not just that people knew him and he was there. I think in a lot of cases, and I think this comes across in the documentary, you see Tracy Webster's emotion and Michael Finley and Rashard Griffith and all those guys, and then the guys he coached. He wasn't just there with them. He was maybe the guy who made the biggest impact on all of those people. And he came in every day concerned about every other person. Like, what do I need to do for Michael Finley today? Is he down? Do I need to pick him up? Howard would do that. Does somebody else looking a little lazy? Do I have to try to motivate him? Howard would do that. I mean, he was the most empathic person as a teammate I've been around, because his thoughts were never on himself. They were always on other people and what he could do to help those people. You know, Greg Popovich, when he coached the Spurs, he would always say one of the things he wanted is he wanted players who could be happy for other people's success. And that's Howard Moore. And that comes across. Like, you know, a lot of guys would be sitting on the bench saying, you know, I hope that dude screws up because I want to get Chime to play. That's not Howard. Howard reveled in everyone else's success. He's the single most beloved person I've ever been around as a teammate. I mean, I think if you went to a man, every guy down the roster, who's your favorite teammate? Every single guy would have him at the top. And that's no knock on any of those other guys. It was a great group. But every single guy, to a man, would have Howard Moore as his favorite teammate.
Talking with Stan Van Gundy about the film A Road at Night. The screenings at Marcus Theaters begin next Thursday, the 12th. They run through the 19th. Again, you can get tickets at aroadatnight.com, including for Thursday night, which benefits Howard's family and Howard, as he obviously needs that assistance as he goes through his recovery. Stan, the reason I struggle with this film is that I don't want to cry when I watch movies. Like I want to watch Wedding Crashers and laugh a bunch. And especially knowing Howard and being from that era, it was emotionally exhausting to watch. That doesn't make it any less great of a film. But I do want to ask you about that aspect of it, because you were there, and to your point about him being authentic, the part where they, I don't remember if it was you or who was saying this, but that he says that we need to pray for the woman that hit them, the driver of the car. I like to think I'm a pretty good person. I'm nowhere near that good of a person to be able to say that. So when you got the news, can you kind of take us through your emotions, because you have been so incredibly supportive of him since, but I can't even imagine what that was like for you.
Yeah, I remember the day. I remember where I was. I was actually in a U-Haul truck driving. My son was moving back to Detroit from Florida, and we were in a U-Haul truck. We were in the mountains in North Carolina at the time, and I see a call on my phone. And it was from Rashard Griffith. And, you know, I didn't answer it because we were in a area where it was hard to get reception. And I told my son, I'm going to wait until we get into a better area and I'll call him back. But he immediately called me back. And I'm like, you know, this must be important. So we got to the top of this hill. And I had a couple of bars, and he got on the phone and told me. And I think the first thing that hit me was just disbelief. I mean, absolute disbelief, because Rashard had an idea how bad it was. And my son could tell you, I was messed up the rest of the trip. We went straight from there. My son drove me to the hospital at the University of Michigan and dropped me off, and then he proceeded on. But it was amazing, and this was said by people in there. You go in the hospital room, and Howard's trying to take care of everyone else who comes in to visit. Do you have what you need? Do you need water? Do you need something to eat? I mean, and then that part hit me too, what you were talking about, when he was saying, you know, you need to pray for the family of the woman who hit them. Like, I can't even imagine that. I mean, all I would have felt had been me is anger. And Howard is, and that's when the pastor said, there's exceptional people, and then there's Howard Moore. And to this day, you know, people come and visit him, and he can't talk, but he gets excited seeing people, and it's uplifting to see Howard. It is always, and always has been, for the 30 plus years that I've known him, it's always uplifting to see Howard Moore.
Again, you can get tickets on aroadatnight.com. And the screenings are at the Marcus Point Cinema in Madison. So, again, go there to get more information. Stan,
they have other events, too. I know I'm going in and doing one on the 14th with Andy Kilbride and Rashard Griffith. We're doing a Q&A after, I think, the 5:40 or 5:45 show that night. Look, I think there's just... And this comes up in the documentary, too. I mean, this guy was beloved not just in Wisconsin, but around college basketball. It was like a who's who coming to the hospital in Michigan when it first happened. And I know the Big Ten coaches, you know, I've been at Howard's house, and there's picture of Matt Painter and his staff coming to visit. I know Tom Izzo and his staff have been involved. I mean, Howard Moore's one of those guys, you know this, because you knew him on campus. You meet him once, and he's one of those guys you're just impressed with and you're going to remember forever. And people have come from everywhere to pay respects and everything else. And not just Howard. We want to help his family, his parents, Trentis and Howard Sr., his brother Darnell. I mean, his son Jarrell, just fabulous people, and anything we can do to help them, because they are just loving, giving people who, I mean, his parents both gave up their jobs, moved to Madison, and just taking care of him. Rashard Griffith is there at his house virtually every day. I mean, the devotion people have to Howard is because of the devotion Howard had to everyone else in his life.
Stan, you've obviously been incredibly supportive of him. And again, you're right there. I've got a little more information. We'll share that coming up. Can I ask you one question? And then we do have an NBA question for you, because we can't not have sure. you on the show without that. But I didn't have the same working relationship. I was a student, right? For your year, as the head coach, and your time as an assistant. I always felt like, here's a guy that's a pretty damn good basketball coach, and it didn't play out the way it maybe should have for you. How proud of your career are you to have recovered from the way things ended in Madison? You obviously have not allowed, speaking of being a good person like Howard, you have not allowed that to prevent you from being supportive of him, and you're coming back to Madison. But was that a difficult time? And when you look at your career after that, you're pretty proud of the way you came back from it?
Well, actually, what I really feel is how fortunate I was and how lucky I was. What I felt at the time was, I think I was 36 years old, and I thought, wow, I got this great opportunity, and I didn't get the job done, and I got fired. Like, I may never get an opportunity close to that again. So that was my original feeling, the feeling of failure and everything else. But I just decided, you know, hey, I've got to get better, and I've got to get on with my career. And I was very fortunate to get an assistance job with the Miami Heat the next year. And then that propelled the rest of my NBA career. And I learned a lot at my time at Wisconsin. I'm still in touch with a lot of those guys, Tracy and Mike and Rashard and Andy Kilbride and Chris Conger, and you know, I wouldn't trade those years for anything, because those were great people. I saw Stu Jackson and I were at the Sweet 16 in California a year ago. Stu as the NCAA's rep there, and I was doing the games for CBS. Those people were great. I loved it. I learned a lot. I've said, and people think I'm joking. I'm not. There has never been a bigger step up in quality of coaching from one to another when you went from me to Dick Bennett. I mean, you know, like, look, Dick Bennett, people ask me every once in a while, I'll get, who's the best coach you've ever seen? And I say, well, there's different levels. The best college coach I've ever seen is Dick Bennett. You know, and that's no knock. Wisconsin's had a slew of great coaches, like Bo Ryan, great coach. Greg Gard, great coach. But Dick Bennett, the best college coach I have ever seen. And you went from me to him. Great move for the University of Wisconsin. And it ended up being a great move for me, too, because I don't know. I just, what I learned in my time in Miami, I think the NBA fit me maybe a little bit better than college. And my career worked out from there. But I have good memories of Madison and the University of Wisconsin. I do not have great memories of the winters there, guys. I do not. You know, I'm in Florida, and even though it's cold here by our standards, I'm happy to be here right now in February, but great memories of Wisconsin. And Dick Bennett helped me a lot. I swallowed my pride, and I had known Dick a little. He got the job, and I said, you know what? I got Dick Bennett in town in Madison before I had gotten my next job. I went, and Dick spent, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours with me, and I learned everything I could. That guy is brilliant.
Stan, what is it about Dick Bennett that would make you say that?
Well, you know what I look at is just, I think what coaching is at the end of the day is, at any sport, any level, is maximizing the talent that you have on hand. Yeah, whether that's bringing them together to be better as a group than they are individually, whether it's developing players to become better. But it's just, to me, when you look at a group and say, wow, that's a group he was able to maximize. Man, I mean, we were in the same site when we went to the NCAA tournament at Wisconsin. And so we were both out in Utah. And I'm watching Dick's Green Bay team beat a Cal team with Lamon Murray and Jason Kidd. And I'm like, there is no way this should be going on. Absolutely no way. And that's no knock on Cal or on Wisconsin Green Bay's players. But there's no way that should have happened. And then the Wisconsin team that Dick took to the Final Four. All right, I mean, come on. No knock on those players. Like, I recruited some of them. But just talent-wise, listen, when you watch the NCAA tournament and see Final Four teams, right, they've all got NBA players on it. Those guys are all going to go to the NBA and play. I mean, not all of them, I mean, but everybody's going to have some NBA players. Look, Dick Bennett, I think he really understood the essence of the game. It was all about fundamentals and habits and doing things. Dick wasn't trying to trick anybody. You know, if he were an NBA coach, and I think he would have been a great one, he wouldn't be the guy that was going to try to come up with the best after timeout play to wow somebody. He would just, I mean, it was all about, a lot about what people said about Kurt Cignetti this year at Indiana with football. It was going to be fundamentals, habits, and they were going to beat you by what they did every single day. And I mean, what I remember about his teams more than anything is a very simple thing, but as somebody who prided myself on defense, I've never seen teams close out as technically sound on every closeout as Dick Bennett. High hands every time. I'm like, God, I mean, it's such a simple thing, but his teams were great defensively. And I'll give you one more on Dick. So my brother, when he was in the NBA as an assistant with the Knicks, when he's first with the Knicks, he was a combination of being on the bench and going out and doing advanced scouting. And when he would go out to get to see the Bucks, he would want to watch a practice. He'd go to watch a college practice to learn. So he got in to scout the Bucks. He goes up to see a Green Bay practice. And after practice, he's talking to Dick Bennett, and he said, Coach, your team is always among the lowest turnover teams in the nation. How do you do that? And Jeff was waiting for drills and teaching points and everything else. And Dick said, Jeff, that's simple. Don't play the guys who turn it over. That was it. And I say that in that a lot of Dick's stuff was just so simple. You know, I remember he got asked a question at a coaching clinic in Madison with the high school coaches one year. And he got asked, he said, "Coach, you know," this high school coach said, I don't see your team's press and they don't zone. I mean, they were very simple, did the same thing night after night. He said, "If you don't press, what do you do when you get down by 15 in a game?" And he said, "Honestly, we probably lose." He said, "But we don't get down by 15 very often." And I mean, he just really had boiled the game down to his essence, a great teacher, a straightforward guy, and one of the best people around. He wrote me a letter once when I was coaching the Pistons that I still have, that was one of the most encouraging letters I've ever seen. He came down from Green Bay about 3 hours early for the Bucks game, and I'll be honest, I don't even think he stayed for the game. And he just came back in the locker room and talked to me. There's no one in the game of basketball that I respect more than Dick Bennett. And I would say it to anybody, if you can make a move, a coaching move like that as a university or as a professional program and take that big a jump, you need to do it.
Stan, it's almost like Dick Bennett should write a book, because there is someone on this panel that has been riding him to write a book about his basketball life. It sounds like you would encourage him and Jason to do that.
Oh, I would love that if Dick would do that, but I know he won't, because here's the thing with Dick Bennett. Dick Bennett never, and I think it's really incredible, especially in the world we live in now, Dick Bennett was never about promoting Dick Bennett. Dick Bennett was all about making a group of players into the best they could be. He was all about the coaching. He wasn't about self-promoting or anything else. So I haven't talked to Coach Bennett in a while. I loved seeing the scene of him hugging Tony after Tony won the national championship, because I know how hard it was for Dick to even watch Tony's games in person, and he rarely did it. And I thought that was just a fabulous moment. But I haven't talked to Dick in a while, but there's no one I respect more, and there's nobody better to learn basketball from than Dick Bennett.
Stan, Mike Kelly just texted me. He said, "No offense taken," on that quip you made about the 2000 Final Four team. So just so you know, he didn't take any offense to that. We have to ask you about Giannis and the NBA. And, you know, this thing has been dragging out for a long time. What do you think, like, if you were in charge with the Milwaukee Bucks, how would you handle what you're seeing, and what do you think might end up happening with Giannis and the Bucks?
Yeah, I don't have any way of knowing what might happen. But look, I mean, I think that the decision is hard, but simple. Like, when do you think you can contend? Can you rebuild this thing around Giannis and become a contender? Which you would have to think your window is the next 3 to 4 years. Can you do that? Can you put enough around him in that time? If so, look, Giannis, one of the greatest players ever to play this game. I think you've got to do that. If you don't think so, then you've got to maximize the return you can get on him and go through a rebuild. I would have a hard time ever trading a Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, look, that guy is, not only is he a great player, but what he brings every night in terms of effort and competitiveness, he's incredible. But if you don't think you can put a roster around him, and they don't have one now, that roster, I mean, I think a lot of us said it at the beginning of the year. I think they were more optimistic. But even with the addition of Miles Turner, that roster was not going to be good enough to put it, you know, to go anywhere this year. If you can't do better than that, then, yeah, start over.
Stan, I know we kept you way longer than you were scheduled to appear, but this was fantastic, and we are so grateful and appreciative of your time. I got a message from Jay Shell during this, who played for you, and one of the things he said was, Howard Moore, no better person on this earth than Duck, and he's right about that. Although it sounds
really
like Dick
is.
Bennett's
really,
pretty...
One last plug from me, Jason. Just people get out. You'll enjoy the documentary. It is hard. It's emotional. You'll enjoy the documentary, though. It's powerful. Like you said, it's really well done. And even more important, it will support Howard and his family. So, you know, get out and enjoy a night at the movies with the family and celebrate, even though it's a tragedy, celebrate a great man in Howard Moore while supporting he and his family. Appreciate everybody that will turn out for that next week.
And you'll be here for the one on, is it Saturday after that screening or?
Saturday, yeah. Andy Kilbride, myself, Rashard Griffith. I don't know who else, but I know those two guys are with me that night.
And there are a variety of those type events after several of the screenings. Again, the website is aroadatnight.com. Stan, I don't know why Brian Anderson didn't give me your number, because I'd have been wearing you out. That's why he didn't give me your number, because this was phenomenal.
Well, there's another great guy. I could go on and on about Brian Anderson. I'm actually going to do a college game with Brian, and I took the game just to work with Brian again, because obviously he stayed at TNT. So I'm doing Seton Hall at Xavier on March the 2nd with Brian, just so I can sit next to him again. Again, one of the great, not only a great announcer, which he is, but just a great, great person. I can't wait to see him.
Well, you're not too bad yourself. Stan, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, guys.